Ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode number 8 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I am Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Yo.
And Ron Deanna.
Aloha.
And how are you guys doing?
Good, good. A little hot up here. We don't have enough AC in the Northeast for this.
I'm great, man. I'm excited to be back on Nerd Alert, the number one nerd-themed podcast on the WWNT network.
All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the trailers that aired from Comic-Con. But first, I want to introduce our special guest from the site, The Cardboard Box, Taylor Catcher.
Hey, glad to be here.
And Taylor was at this year's Comic-Con, and guys, do we have any questions for him?
Yeah, I lived it. What's up?
What do you have that I can buy off of you? Do you have Funko Pops? Give me your Funko Pops. These aren't questions. These are
I got a Funko Pop. It's the Frieza, San Diego Comic-Con Gold Frieza. I don't know. I got it for a friend. So, no, you can't buy it off me. I got a lot of signed comic books.
Our work here is done. Goodbye, Taylor. It was nice having you on the show.
I heard that you would like to know that I got a picture with Stephen Amell. So I got that. You could buy that off me.
That did not sound good. Stephen
Amell. Yeah, that's fine. I can get your face out of there real easy.
Just Photoshop your face right in there.
Stephen Amell's so dreamy.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, boy.
He looked at me right in the eye and he said, "Hey, buddy, so obviously we're best friends now."
Totally. Yeah, totally. You should give me his number, though, so I can talk to him.
No, I mean, he said to keep it on the DL as far as the number thing goes, so I really can't pass it on. But I'll just have to.
Did you run into him, or did you have to wait online, or what?
No, okay, so the story goes I was not stalking him on Twitter, trying to figure out a single moment that I could possibly get a picture with him. And he was over at Zachary Levi's Nerd HQ for a panel, which I didn't realize they had panels until it was too late and I couldn't buy tickets to the panels, which had Stephen Amell. And I went over there and I was like, "Hey, I heard their celebrities do pictures and stuff." And they're like, "Well, it's the Smiles for Smiles thing. It's like it's for charity and you pay $20 that go straight to charity and you get a picture." And I was like, "Well, Stephen Amell doing one of these because he's in a panel right now." And they're like, "We don't know. They decide after." So I asked like 5 different employees and they're like, "Well, if he did do it, there's a line outside. You stand in the line. And maybe you'll get a picture if he decides to do it." So I stood in the line, and everyone was just like, fingers crossed. And they were like, "Yep, he's doing it." And so I paid $20 and got a picture with him, and it was great.
Nice.
Yeah. So all for charity, because he's the best. Stephen Amell.
But you did miss out on the Star Wars panel, sadly.
Yeah, I didn't want to sleep over for 3 days in a row to see that. It just didn't seem worth it in the long run to miss the rest of the con. I mean, it was my first time at Comic-Con. So, you know, I was dressed up as Nuk-Tuk, Hero of the North, for the first day. Or Hero of the South, right? It's Hero of the South, whatever. Anyway, you know, from Legend of Korra. If you guys are Legend of Korra fans, I don't know if you guys are.
Yeah, and you look great. And Sarah was...
she was Korra. She was season 4. Yeah. Yep, and my cousin was too.
It's really a shame about what happens to her restaurant on the boardwalk. No? All right, just me.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, you're going to have to fill us in on that one.
Come on, Cat Korra, Cuisina, the restaurant on the boardwalk. No?
Okay.
Not an avatar.
She is not.
You know, I mean... one thing... You know, I was going to say one thing about Taylor. I mean, he does a lot of cosplay. Last year you did Reverse Flash, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and he does a great job with his costumes, and he is dedicated to his art too. Because I know, didn't you pick up PX90 because you were gonna?
Yeah,
basically...
I did P90X to be Nuk-Tuk. Like I lost 20 pounds to fit into Reverse Flash, and then I probably lost 10 pounds but gained 5 pounds of muscle to be Nuk-Tuk.
You look great. That's incredible that you would do that.
Yeah, that's the only thing though that gets me going. Like it doesn't matter. It could be like, oh well, you know. Your girlfriend would like it. I'm like, well, okay. It's like, oh, well, you know, you would just look good and you'd feel better. Like, I don't know. And it's like, oh, but I think my goal is if I keep choosing more muscular people every year, I'm like, one day I want to be Vegeta, you know? And that just takes a lot of muscle. So it's just going to be progressively more muscular every year.
I think what we need to do is sponsor Taylor's cosplaying and let him do something Disney Marvel combined, like Genie Hulk or something.
Man, a genie. I love the genie so much. That'd be fun. Genie, but I'm not tall enough. See, you also have to play. Problem with cosplay and me being 5'8 is that I really can't ever be Superman or Batman.
Wolverine's in your range, buddy.
Yeah, well, Wolverine is a little shorter, but yeah, that's possible. But that'd be, man, the muscular. I'd have to be, because Hugh Jackman is just too much. That's just.
Yeah,
that's
real intense. You see that guy? I see him at Comic-Con. MegaCon. He's at MegaCon, too. Like, yeah, that guy's like huge. He's built.
I saw that guy walking past. Like, I saw him, like. When I saw a lot of the people. It's cool. It's like a lot of the people that were in like IGN's best cosplay and stuff. Like I saw them walking the floor, and I was lucky though with Stephen Amell. Is my costume started falling apart. The boots started falling apart halfway through the day, and it was just hot. And I was like, okay, I'll just change out of this costume. And I happened to get the picture with Stephen Amell later that day. I'm glad it was regular clothes. I was in my Han Solo, my Venn diagram Han Solo shirt, which one of the Venn diagrams says Scruffy Nerf Herder. The other one says Scoundrel. In the middle, it says Solo. That's real fun, Venn diagram. But anyway, I was in that shirt instead of like Nuck-Tuck. I think it would have been dumb if my picture with Stephen Amell was as Nuck-Tuck.
No, I think it was kind of cool that you guys were dressed like in your normal clothes.
Yeah, I was excited that this happened to happen. It was all – my whole Comic-Con experience was a lot of amazing just like happenstance moments. Like I brought four different comic books to get signed, and I ended up getting them all signed just by just pure just like luck. And it was great.
Did you do any Hall H presentations?
Nope. I was like, you know, I did two different panels, but they were the little panels. I just walked the floor and just got exhausted from that and went to Nerd HQ, played the new Star Wars Battlefront game.
Well, that's a great place to start. How'd that work out?
It was awesome. Man, that game, it was the Nerd HQ, and they were just like, hey, you can play, you know, Star Wars Battlefront. So it was the co-op mode that they debuted at E3.
Oh, is that the one with Tatooine?
The PlayStation, yeah, it was like, you know, you're fighting Stormtroopers and AT-ATs is like co-op two people on PlayStation 4. And Sarah is a beast at the first Battlefront, my girlfriend. She is like really good at it. And so I was like, let's co-op together. So once she figured out the controls and it was back in third person, she was just on a roll. And we just like tore through those Stormtroopers and took down AT-STs and had a great time. That game is very, very good. So don't worry about it.
Oh, now, when you were playing, did you switch between characters? Or did you have a character that was yours?
You only were allowed to be it's a random rebel soldier, it seemed, in the co-op.
Okay. See, I'm a bit disappointed in that. Like, it seems like fun gameplay, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of storytelling to be done and growth of your characters.
Well, there wasn't in the old Battlefronts either. It's not a story game. So I'm not really worried about that.
You know, maybe a little more.
Yeah, I don't know. It's doing what I wanted from Battlefront, it seems. Good. Like, the controls are very good. It's the Battlefield 4 guys. So the controls feel great. The laser blasters sound like laser blasters. You know, everything sounds really good. It felt really good. So I think that it's definitely going to be, whether or not it's everything you want from a story, on a gameplay level, it seems really solid.
Did you see any of the multiplayer there?
Yeah, all the PCs were playing the 64 or 32 or whatever it is, player multiplayer. So every different PC, they were playing on Hoth.
I think people were driving
around in snow speeders.
I think it's 40 on there. It's like capped off.
Okay. Well, they were playing that, and my cousin played that because he's a PC gamer. Mm-hmm. He said it was kind of glitchy still, but I mean, it's like 6 months out. He's like, but it was really fun. So,
did they see like Darth Vader and Luke show up?
I don't think so. I don't think any of those things were in. I think it was just playing the game. It was, you know, it's still an early build, and it was free and just like right across the street from Comic-Con. It was really cool. And I played, and then I played a lot of the board game stuff. There was like in the Xbox Lounge, and I went to the Nintendo Lounge, and saw new amiibos. You know how much I love amiibos, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
See all the amiibos. And I got to be an amiibo. There was a green screen that took a picture of you, and they put you in a picture with other amiibos. That was cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep. So, yeah.
Did you have any questions about these guys? I know you were talking about that you got some autographs. And
Yeah. I got an autographs from Jim Lee. I got autographs from Grant Morrison. I got my variant Superman Unchained number one Bruce Timm cover signed by Bruce Timm and Scott Snyder and Jim Lee. So it's like triple signed. But Ron was telling me before we started that that means nothing because unless they were there to see it, but it happened. I have pictures.
Yeah, pictures definitely help.
I have pictures with all those guys. I was there. I lived it. And then I went to the Greg Capullo panel, and so now my Scott Snyder and my Batman number one is both signed by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, which is awesome as well. And my so it's my Superman my Action Comics number one by Grant Morrison, my Justice League number one by Jim Lee, and then my Superman Unchained, Bruce Timm, Jim Lee, Scott Snyder, and then Batman number one, Bruce Timm and Scott Snyder. And then at the con, I bought the exclusive Alex Ross cover for Secret Wars number one signed by Alex Ross. So
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I have been liking the variant covers Marvel's been coming out with.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been good stuff.
Ron, did you see the Lando figure cover? I haven't been able to spot it anywhere.
I saw it. This is going to be a very New England-y reference, but Newbery Comics had a bunch of
I knew it, when you said that, I knew exactly what you were going to say. Yeah. I mean, it's the same chain as Midtown anyway, isn't it?
I don't know. Newbery gets their own string of variants as well, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they have, what, 27 stores?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's a comic shop, but it's more of a somewhere between Hot Topic and FYE is more
that,
of their kind
that's
of thing.
That's an accurate explanation of Newbery Comics. Also, but they started in John Cena's hometown.
They're not. I thought the Newbery Street one was the main one.
I know, I was making things up.
They had a bunch of there, and they had their own variant with him and Vader on the cover, and then they had they had a really cool variant for the Green Lantern Star Trek crossover with Lantern sitting in the captain's chair.
Yeah, I saw that one. It was pretty cool. Speaking of the variants, I don't know if it was announced recently, but I know our sister podcast, the Jedi Hero Princess podcast, covered the fact that Scotty Young, you know, we were talking about the Scotty Young variant covers last episode. They're doing a pin set of Scotty Young variants. I don't know if they are WDW exclusive or what, but that's a pretty cool Disney Marvel crossover there.
Yeah. They're probably that and the action figures, from what I can tell, are probably the two most common popular variants. Young does a lot of variant covers, and they do one of those action figures for almost everything. I mean, they're going to be doing one for the Figment book.
Yeah, well, they did a ton of Ant-Man. I don't know if you've seen them. They've done a ton of Ant-Man variants with, like, the character just a speck on the page. It looks terrible, but they got to promote the new movie.
Ant-Man number 3, I have it on my wall. It has Taskmaster trying to eat Ant-Man. It's one of the coolest covers I've ever seen.
Taskmaster is such a weird
I love Taskmaster so much. He's one of my favorite villains because he's just like – when he fights Deadpool, too, it's just fantastic. And there was actually a really good Taskmaster miniseries that kind of explained his past and how his, like, his photo – it's photophysical? No, something like that. It's not photographic memory because it's like –
Yeah.
But what bothers me is – and this is really going off on tangent about the character. It's like he can mimic power – like Spider-Man's moves, which require the super agility and super strength, too. Sometimes, so that always kind of bugs me about Taskmaster. Like, you should be able to do what Spidey does.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, I think, but it's what's interesting about his character as far as this comic book went was that he literally doesn't have memories. Like, it takes up all of his actual, like, life memory space to memorize these moves. So, like, in the book, like, he like, finds his, like, ex-wife or something who finds him, like, every couple of years and makes him remember. I felt like there was, like, a movie I saw that was similar to that where it's kind of like 50 First Dates, but if it was, like, not every morning. It was just
I'm sure Marvel appreciates that. Yeah, Taskmaster. He's like Adam Sandler in 50 First Dates.
No, he's like Drew Barrymore in
50 First Dates. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Whoa. And his ex-wife is like Adam Sandler. Anyway, so, like, he meets this girl, like, at a diner, and he feels like they like each other, kind of, whatever. And then he finally starts remembering, but then, like, to defeat a bad guy, he had to photographic memorize his move, and he knew that would erase that part of his brain that remembered his wife, and he had to do it to win. It was crazy. It was really good. Spoiler, but it was good.
I think we need a parody movie, 50 First Fights.
Oh, yeah. Ant-Man, Taskmaster.
All right, let's get into our main topic, which is going to be all the trailers that we're able to see from Comic-Con. I know, again, Taylor was there, but unfortunately he didn't get to see the trailers until you were on the plane, I guess, going home, right?
Yeah, I mean, I saw, because I knew that Deadpool was going to disappear quick, so I happened to be on Twitter one of the nights, and I got to see the Deadpool off that little camera, that tiny thing that we all saw. And then I didn't see Batman vs. Superman until I got back, or all the other ones. I basically waited until I got back to see everything else. But it's just because I was at the Nerdist Podcast Live, and Chris Hardwick was the host of all of the Marvel, I guess, or you consider it Fox, I guess, panels. And he said that he made them play the Deadpool trailer twice. And he was at that panel right before he came to the Nerdist Podcast. So I was like, well, if Chris Hardwick saw it twice and the whole audience declared it, I better look it up. So that's the only one I saw while I was there.
Well, I'll go down the line. The first thing that I guess that we saw was the Star Wars panel came out, and they didn't have a new trailer. I guess they're going to save that for D23, guys.
I'd put money on it, honestly, at this point.
I mean, at this point in time, the things that they're saving for D23, the list is just growing.
Yeah, it sounds. You guys are lucky. Patrick, are you going?
No, sir. No, sir.
I know Ron's going. Yeah, Ron. I know Tom is going. You guys are going to have an awesome time because it does. It sounds like. I mean, you're probably going to see some of Civil War. You're going to see definitely The Force Awakens and Rogue One, I'm sure. It's definitely going to be a great time for you guys to be there. But it started off with we didn't get to see a trailer, but we saw like a 3-minute behind-the-scenes video. I'm just going to go through who was at the Star Wars panel. You had Kathleen Kennedy, who's the producer. J.J. Abrams, the director, Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote the script for Empire. He also wrote the script for, I guess he wrote it with J.J. Abrams for The Force Awakens. John Boyega, who plays Finn, Daisy Ridley, who plays Rey, Oscar Isaacs, who plays Poe Dameron, Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren, Domhnall Gleeson, who plays some admiral, Gwendolyn Christie plays Captain Phasma, Carrie Fisher's Princess or Queen Leia, we're still not sure.
Mm.
Mark Hamill, of course, is Luke.
The Joker.
Harrison Ford, you know, is back as Han Solo. And Peter Mayhew was in the audience, too, which I felt kind of bad that he was kind of left out of the panel, but I guess he had a good seat.
He had his own weird booth at Comic-Con, like a little tiny, like, booth on the floor of like him signing comics, but it was like Peter Mayhew. I just walked past him. It was just like, it was so bizarre because like he's a main person at like Star Wars weekend and you have to like stand in line for forever, but I could have probably just like walked up to him and like paid $20 and got an autograph or something.
I did that with MegaCon. Nobody was by him. He was just sitting there kind of like reading a book.
He just kind of sits on his own.
And I went up to him and like he looked at me with Chewbacca eyes and I was like, oh my God. And I think it was like a couple of years ago or before they announced The Force Awakens or Episode 7, you know, who was going to be in the cast. And I was, you know, basically trying to get information out of him. I was like, are you going to be in the movie? And he's like, I really can't say. And he kept giving me a lot of those questions. I was being a real pain in the butt. But, yeah, you know, he was a nice guy, and I was glad I got to meet him. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, Star Wars Weekends, it's crazy to meet him, but... MegaCon, it's just you go right up to him.
Yeah, like, it was a lot of things like that. Like, it's just so weird how you could, even at Comic-Con, it was so splintered in weird ways. Like, I could get to the DC booth first thing in the morning to get a wrist strap to get a signature from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, or later that day, just stand in line for 20 minutes at Greg Capullo's free signing in the auditorium. Wait. For 20 minutes and get a signing from him at that moment and get a picture with him and like talk to him. But like, it's so weird. Like in the same con, like it's at both ends of the spectrum. I thought that was interesting. Weird.
The real cool part about the 3-minute behind the scenes is that suddenly we see that Warwick Davis and Simon Pegg are involved in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like Simon Pegg's playing some sort of alien. We just haven't seen his head.
Yeah.
I heard Daniel Craig might be in there, too.
He made some comment that he's not, but... I mean, I could... If I was him and working next door... And I mean, he's kind of in the age group. that, you know, grew up on it, and I could totally see him going over. Just put me in a Stormtrooper costume. I don't want anybody to see me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's downplaying it.
I think if you could be in it and you were just a celebrity that happened to be there that could just be in it for even dressed up, why not? Like, the behind-the-scenes stuff, all of, what's his name, Stephen Colbert's family and Stephen Colbert were in the Hobbit movies.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they were just in costumes at random parts and just dressed up because he's a huge, like, a Tolkien fan. And, like, they're just in the movies, but you don't know because they're in, like, costumes. But it's like they're there, you know. So that I would do that if I was a celebrity and I could do something like that. Why not?
Wasn't NSYNC Jedis that were cut out of the arena scene from episode 2?
I remember that rumor. I don't know if that was real. But
no, that was real. They actually Lucas's daughter was a big NSYNC fan, and she wanted them in the movie. So Lucas is like, "Well, we'll make them Jedi in the arena."
Wow, that was a pretty good Lucas.
And then he got, I think, about 3,000 death threats, and they had to cut that scene out. But that scene is somewhere. I mean, we might see it eventually.
And Lightsaber Kid was supposedly an extra somewhere in Episode 3 as well, but I don't know if that's true or not.
But, yeah, I mean, I love that Star Wars vignette.
I think it was better than a trailer.
It was, like, because the coolest part was they kept showing, like, the scene, and they show it was real. And they'd show another, like, set, and they'd show it was real. And they'd show another set, and all the practical effects. And it just, like, it showed how much care was going into this movie. And that's all they needed. And it still showed stuff, but didn't show anything at the same time. Like, it was still showing, you know, like, the girl. We don't know exactly who her character is. Maybe we do. I'm not paying enough attention to it. But, like, the girl that's, you know, the main girl that they keep showing, the new girl. And right. It shows her, like, her inside, it looked like the like Millennium Falcon's gun, you know, but it was just mm-hmm. that part of the...
Yeah, it looks like she's co-piloting it at points yeah. in time with
so you're getting, like, you're like, cool, like, this is cool that I'm seeing this, but it's not seeing it finished, and it's still not detracting, though. Sometimes behind-the-scenes stuff detracts, but for some reason, this is just like, I can't wait for this movie. I can't wait.
Yeah,
was the opening music to that Mad World...
You know, I was going to say the same thing. It reminded me of music from Donnie Darko when it started playing. I was like, why were they – that's the only complaint I had was that music was a little depressing.
Well, I think it's because it's all around me are familiar faces. I think that's kind of the thing they were trying to evoke there if they actually used it.
Oh, you're probably right with that. I didn't even put that together. But, yeah, I think it might have been. And then they just kind of like segued into like the familiar – music or whatever from Star Wars. A couple of things I noticed that we got to see Carrie Fisher as Leia finally in her outfit. And she kind of, I don't know, kind of reminds me of Hillary Clinton with the slacks. You know?
I think it looked okay.
Yeah, it looks okay. C-3PO had a red arm.
What is the deal with that?
He's actually Solid Snake. Or he's...
It looked like he freaking borrowed it from Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he did. Maybe they're introducing the Stark family a long, long time ago.
I think Tony Stark fits into just about every world except for Winterfell.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I don't think Tony Stark wants to go there. His family name doesn't handle too well.
No, yeah, it's not the best.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you saw actual film. It was a 35mm film in the camera. I mean, they yeah. kind of like open it up to show you. It's like, yeah, this is film. It's not digital.
Where's my 70mm print, man?
Yeah, it's one of those great subtle hints, like as like that they were just showing, just like proving to the fans that they were serious, you know, in that vignette. It was great.
I think it's throwback filmmaking. You know, it's taking it back to unpolished. You might see a sneaker in a starship dogfight kind of filmmaking.
And what was the deal with Warwick Davis? He was with that cartoon-looking alien that just kind of looked a little bit out of place.
I don't know, but I think they bring Ewoks back. People will riot.
What else was it? I saw Admiral Ackbar. I don't know if it was just they were going through.
Did you see Admiral Ackbar, or was it a trap? Oh, I got the puns loaded and ready to go today.
It could be his Admiral Ackbar Jr. And who was that guy that was with Lando on the Millennium Falcon when they were going after the second Death Star.
Nine Numb?
Yeah, I saw him too. So I don't know if they're going to be back or not.
I mean, it could just be a random Celestrian, but...
Could be. I've seen him in that Star Wars Battlefront game too.
Yeah, or just I think it's supposed to be a random of that race.
Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to be him.
But again, it looks great. You know, I mean, I think it's nice that they were able to show that and that we were able to see it too and not hide it from us. Like a lot of, you know, these companies will do. Like they'll, and I do kind of feel bad. I mean, if you're at Comic-Con and you're waiting like days sometimes to see a panel and then all of a sudden they release everything a few minutes later. I mean, yeah, I kind of feel bad for them that they got to see it live, but we got to see it too.
I mean, they got to see the people.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's a fine line because someone captures it on their phone and then it's out there. And then once it's out there, then the companies like they did with Suicide Squad just put it out. You know, they kind of just like
after sending a scalding letter.
Yeah.
But here's my thing is when Ron and I had a brief run in with Marvel Security, I don't understand how anybody at these cons can get away with filming anything. When we were in New York, they were so locked down. It's amazing to me. So if they're not being that diligent, then they obviously don't mind the leak. And they shouldn't mind the leak. It gives them publicity. Why would that make you mad?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Supergirl leak, if anything, that helped because...
I still think that was intentional.
Yeah, because in HD, like, come on. Come on, that Supergirl leak. And that show is actually... it wasn't as bad as it looked. So, we got that going for it.
Yeah, that was a great idea if that was an intentional leak.
It helped, man, because I was like, this show looks stupid.
I mean, people think the same thing happened with Flash last year. And there were some changes between the cut that leaked of Flash and the final cut.
Probably based off of feedback from people.
I mean, they were smaller, but that was only a couple weeks. I think this, they know it's going to have some issues getting off the ground, no pun intended. So I think they leaked it to just, you know, hey, let's use the entire internet as a focus group.
It's a good idea, especially because the people who are going to download that are the people that care anyway, or that would complain or that would be critical. So,
it's a TV show, not a movie. So you lose audience a little bit, but people... You might lose a few people who are going to watch it if they download it ahead of time, but the word of mouth is probably going to make up for that if it's half decent.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was going to say, I mean, one thing that this audience got that I felt was worth the price of admission is that they got to go to a special concert featuring John Williams' music from all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I'm so jelly.
That was amazing. And I'm going to make all the people who refer to me as a pixie duster cringe when I say that's the Disney difference. That's what Disney does. You see this Comic-Con, you're like, well, we're not giving you that much. So here, let's one-up it. Everybody come to a concert. Very Andy Kaufman of them.
is pixie duster like a real term? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
Pixie duster is a real term.
It's a negative Disney fan term?
It is a term used for people who do not see a negative side of the Disney company.
Oh. Did you see that South Park episode? That was good. With the evil Mickey. That was great.
That was the one with the Jonas Brothers.
No. Well, there was that one, but then there was a follow-up with when they were talking about Star Wars being sold to Disney.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. The Chinese government and, like, Cartman, like, Mickey's sitting there and he's like... Carmen's like, all I want. And Mickey's like, why are you trying to sell the? Oh, why are you trying to sell it? Oh. And he's like, why? And Carmen's like, I just want like a Tauntaun and like a Jedi. He's like, I'll give you anything you want. Here, take a Tauntaun. Just don't sell it to the Chinese. And so like Carmen comes back like riding a Tauntaun. Whatever. It was good. You should watch it.
Yeah, he wanted to be Luke's son.
Yeah, he's like, make me Luke's son in the next movie, and I want a Tauntaun and a lightsaber. And Mickey's like, sure, and like gives it to him.
What I thought was kind of surprising, they really didn't show too much on Rogue One.
D23 for it yet. I mean, we're probably going to get the full announcement about Rogue One's going to be at D23.
And I think it starts filming in a week or two, so we should be getting something from there pretty soon.
Yeah, I think the official announcement of what the plot, like what the basic plot is going to be, and who people are playing, will be coming out at D23.
And when is it? I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm the guest. I don't really know the
second weekend of August.
Okay, that's coming, Aaron.
It's definitely coming up.
Marvel Star Wars news.
And we didn't talk about this last time, but what do you think about this idea of the new anthology movie being about Han Solo as a smuggler, his early years?
You know, those are some of my favorite of the old Star Wars, the first guard of Star Wars novels. And if they're still out there, I don't know how easy they are to find. It was they're almost novellas, and they come, the three of them, in a book usually. And they were pretty good, and it's just, you know, Han and Chewie's adventures. And, I mean, that's the kind of thing these anthology series should be, is, you know, you've got these characters who had, you know, been galaxy-trotting forever before they met up with Luke. Why not, you know, maybe show... I don't want to see Han rescue Chewie. I kind of, like, I don't want to see that. Is someone eating their microphone?
Yeah, I feel like Darth Vader's joining.
I'm so sorry. I thought I was muted. My bad. I just rubbed my hand across it because I was itching my nose.
You deafened all of us.
But I don't know. I think the hard part is going to be, how do you have a Han Solo movie and not make it Harrison Ford? I mean, it doesn't matter who they cast. It's not...
Well, we're not gonna talk about Ant-Man this time because Patrick hasn't seen it yet.
I loved it.
But, I mean, if they use the effect that they used on Michael Douglas with Harrison Ford.
That's true. That looked good. It didn't look, I mean, to be fair, they've been testing it since Tron 2, right? You looked at Jeff Bridges and you were like, I don't know, Jeff Bridges, your teeth look weird. But you look pretty good. But now, I mean, Michael Douglas looked fantastic.
Yeah, I was just blown away with that. And, we won't talk too much about it, but. Yeah, so our next thing that we're going to talk about is, I guess, like, what was going on with Fox. And their first panel had to do, well, the trailer was X-Men Apocalypse. And any impressions on that?
This was a hard one to see the download for, I think, of all the, you know, bootlegs that came out. But the, you know, we got the images from Entertainment Weekly a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that they're going very comic book movie looking, and, you know, like, you see that the world's evolved since the first one, but someone said he looks like a Power Rangers villain, and I kind of agree.
Ooze. He looks like Ooze, man. Ivan Ooze. That was a good movie, you guys.
It's so bad. I had such high hopes when I saw the trailer. The trailer makes the movie look great. And if you recall our talk about top comic book movies, First Class was one of my favorites. I really, really enjoyed First Class, and I was excited for this one after not really enjoying Days of Future Past. But, Apocalypse just looks so bad and so, so purple.
He looks bad. Psylocke looks great, though.
Psylocke looks great in a number of ways.
And so does Storm.
Storm looks great. Yeah, Mohawk thing.
Mohawk, like, Storm, the, man. That's the way to go.
Great. How do you guys, I mean, the Rogue Cut came out pretty much Comic-Con weekend as well of Days of Future Past. Does anyone know, like, is that worth money? I mean, it's like $14 on Amazon. I didn't like Rogue in the X-Men movies in the first place, so I obviously probably shouldn't buy it. But
I don't think that's what it means by Rogue Cut.
No, it is. They added Rogue back in.
They put Rogue back in the movie.
Yeah, they cut her out.
I think what happens... From what I read, I mean, a while ago, I think what happens is, remember Kitty Pryde gets cut by Wolverine? She ends up absorbing her power, and she kind of takes over for Kitty. But I think it's her journey from getting to where she was to helping Kitty Pryde is a little longer. But I don't know. I've yet to hear of anyone that's actually seen it.
No one, that's the
my brother-in-law got it, and he said it's like 30 seconds here, a minute here. It's very spread out of the extra 15 minutes.
Not worth it. Not.
Well, I did not buy the original one because I was waiting for this to come out. So as we were discussing it, I literally just bought it off Amazon for 14-something.
Yeah, it's 14-something, but it's not 3D, so I don't want to see it. Forget it.
And after that, it recommended I buy a Darth Vader toaster.
Buy it. Add it to cart now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't know how you can resist that. Just get
it'll
it.
Make your toast dark. The dark side. I don't know.
It actually just toasts Star Wars logo into the side.
Oh, that's even better. Yes.
So
anyway, so go ahead.
What do you guys think of the Four Horsemen that they have? Do you know who the Four Horsemen are?
It's Storm is one, I think, right?
Ric Flair.
Woo!
Totally. Right. Well, he has Psylocke with him.
Mm-hmm.
He has Storm. That's two horsemen. You know who the other two are? Is it Nightcrawler?
It's Angel.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
And Magneto. Oh,
hey. Is it Angel or is it Archangel?
That we're not sure about.
Because Archangel is technically the horseman, because they made Angel all sweet and metal, and that's the toy I had as a kid.
Yeah, I had that toy too. That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
I also had Apocalypse, and his arms grew. It was awesome. And his legs, you just pop up and make them bigger.
Yeah, I am. So the trailer really, I was very on this movie because it's hard to do Apocalypse. But as soon as I saw the trailer, I was excited for it. And then once I saw Apocalypse, I was just bummed. I hope they can fix him up digitally.
I'm sure they can fix him up. All the memes of that cosplayer that did an amazing Apocalypse compared to the Ivan Ooze Apocalypse from this movie are pretty rough, because the cosplayer's Apocalypse was amazing. It was so good.
Oh, seriously, killing it. And every time I picture Apocalypse, it's just the jaw, that mm-hmm. very distinct lines on the jaw. It needs to be there, because even in the X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men storyline, where there's a past Apocalypse as a child in the Jean Grey school, he has that line.
Yeah, it was weird. It's weird to change it so much when they're going to make Psylocke literally page to screen, and then make
seriously, he is page to screen.
What are you doing? They're just I think I wanted him to look weird, and I want her to look like the comic book. It's like, why are
he just really likes the grimace?
I guess that's weird. It's weird the grimace. Sorry, I just got that. but yeah, I don't know. I think that the trailer was hard for me to understand. What Ron said earlier was he said that from a off screen, it was really I couldn't tell who was who sometimes, especially when none of them had their outfits on. And so I was like, I don't know. I'm sure I liked Days of Future Past, and I liked First Class. I liked all the X-Men movies. Even 3 has moments of redemption, whether or not it's a terrible movie. But there were some moments you're like, oh, that's cool, X-Men.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I like the X-Men. So I'm excited. I don't think, with the exception of X-Men Origins Wolverine, I don't think they've – and I guess 3 technically, but I don't think they've actually done a terrible movie. They've done terrible comic book movies. And terrible, for the fans. But as far as movies go, they've been fun. All of them have been fun. And this new one, I like Bryan Singer's. I like the last movie, so I'm excited about this. And it looks like they're trying to be comic booky, but Apocalypse does look bad. But you know what? What are you gonna do?
The other mutants that were there. Now I know we saw James McAvoy as Professor X.
Without the hair.
I couldn't really see that. I saw maybe a small.
It was definitely the off camera one that I saw. Yeah. It was like the after credits scene, the shawarma of the trailer, if it were, and it was definitely bald. It was great.
Yeah, he definitely needs to be that. But we also got to see Mystique, Quicksilver, Jubilee, Beast, the new Nightcrawler. I thought it was Rogue, but it might just be Mystique. And it just looks like there's a ton.
Isn't it weird they have Nightcrawler, but he's not going to be Mystique's son or whatever, right? In the comic books and in the cartoon, Mystique's son is Nightcrawler.
But, yeah.
And they even set that up in the first, with the guy, the teleporting guy from First Class. That's the dude that Mystique hooks up with to have Nightcrawler. They even set that up in First Class to be for them to be a couple.
Yep.
I guess, sort of, but they didn't even. They just that guy just disappeared. The next movie, he's gone, not even a thing. So that was weird. I don't know.
Hey, how'd you find that out? I didn't hear that. He's
what?
That he's I guess it's because of their age. I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make any. And also, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence's version of Mystique isn't just sleeping around. You know, it just doesn't seem like that's part of her character in these movies. And so, the fact that, and yeah, the age, too, would make sense for that Nightcrawler, unless he is, expedited age or something that Nightcrawler would all of a sudden be, even if he's 16, she's 20 something. And so even if she'd hooked up with that guy in the last two movies ago, which let's say that's 6 years ago, there's no way. It doesn't make any sense. It's impossible. So they're just putting him in there for fun. But that's, I like Nightcrawler, so that's fine.
Just want to say really quick to everybody listening, we somehow lost Ron Deanna due to technical difficulty. And we're going to try to get him back, but for now we're just going to go ahead and we're just going to keep going and talking about these trailers. And
I'm Ron.
You're Ron now?
I'm now Ron, yep.
Ron Burgundy.
Unique New York.
All right, one thing before we leave this X-Men panel, Hugh Jackman had come out, and I think he'd said that the next movie is going to be Old Man Logan.
Did he really announce that? Because that's awesome if he did.
Yeah, I think he said, I have three words, it's Old Man Logan.
I don't know, was he serious?
I hope he was, because that's like one of my favorite books. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, though, is how are they going to do it? Without the Hulk?
I don't know. It's literally impossible. Without the Hulk, without Red Skull, without, like...
They would maybe get the Thing?
Ah, stupid. You can't have the Thing eat him and then him burst out of the Thing's stomach and then have a baby Thing to put on his back.
Yep, this is going down the rabbit hole.
Did you not read that book? It's great. You should read it. It's so good.
Yeah, did you ever see that or read it?
I've read bits and pieces. I haven't read the whole story. I know.
No, it is great. It is like one of my favorites.
It's honestly one of the saddest books I've ever read, too. It's like super sad. I was like, wow, this is really sad. But it's really good. It's the same guys that wrote Civil War together. So that's really good.
All right, let's move on to Deadpool.
Woo, that trailer.
Oh, man.
Off screen, but that is a hot trailer. It was so good. So good.
And I heard we should be getting a clear version like in about 2 weeks.
I'm sure they'll release it. They know. The thing is, they know it's good, and they know that the off-screen one is good enough that it doesn't matter if they don't release it, even though that it is like the best. It was like they even made a Green Lantern reference.
Yeah.
And they made him like ugly with the Thing off. TJ Miller was doing a good job in that trailer as the friend that was saying how ugly he was. And I don't know. I think everything about that trailer was perfect, and it's amazing. And I love that they even have like from the, you know, the studio. I don't know if that's fake or it was real advertising or it was a fan made. But it was like from the studio that ruined Deadpool brings you Deadpool.
That's great.
And it's just so good.
And Colossus finally looks good.
Colossus looked like a giant metal guy, you know, like he should. And it looks great. I'm just very excited about that. So Ron's back, and so
hey.
We're talking about Deadpool. So tell us what you think.
This was my favorite of anything I saw at a Comic-Con. It looks exactly like what I wanted, exactly what this film needs to be. Completely irreverent. You know, the hard R for language is what I wanted more than for, you know, Kill Bill-style blood splatters. But
it's all there. It's all there.
It's all there, and it's absolutely perfect from what I could see so far.
It's honestly, it seems like it's so good that it's unreal. Like, I feel like it can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the dream that we all had of what a Deadpool movie possibly could be, but we're like, no one's going to do that. But Ryan Reynolds is like, I am. And you're like,
who's directing it? Because it seems like something Matthew Vaughn should have done.
I don't know who's directing that movie, but I think that when whoever leaked that footage last year did the smartest thing they possibly could have done.
Oh, that's another one that I'm pretty sure was a...
Oh, that was on purpose. There's no way that wasn't on purpose. That was like somebody that was part of that, they wanted to get it made, and they were just like, I'm just going to release it and see what happens.
Well, I think, again, Tom Rothman, who was the CEO of Fox, I think he was the CEO... He was totally against Deadpool because he thought he was too violent. He didn't want to push a movie like that, especially that they're trying to bring in kids and stuff like that. And he, every time they wanted to green light it, you know, he would put the thumbs down. And it even says, like, if you see that trailer that was released, Ryan Reynolds at the very end says, hi, Tom.
Yeah, he does say that. And the guy, by the way, the director is Tim Miller, and he did Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So that makes a lot of sense for the comic book visual art style.
That is an excellent director for this
film.
That's
amazing.
I don't think he directed it. I don't think
that's what it says.
Edgar Wright directed Scott Pilgrim.
You're right.
Edgar Wright directed Scott Pilgrim.
And what was he on this? Maybe he was visual effects?
He was
visual effects creative supervisor, either way, of Blur Studios. Blur Studios is the guys that do all like the really, really good like game FMV graphics. So he must like they're like, we need a graphics guy because Deadpool with the eyes like moving and stuff like that. Yeah.
He was the second unit director of the opening sequence of Thor the Dark World.
Well, then.
He was also the visual effects producer of Star Wars The Old Republic, the original PC game, which is great.
That is one of the best games of all time.
Yeah, so this guy, and Mass Effect 2.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking Knights of Old Republic. I have never played Old Republic.
Well, that's the new one, but either way, it's still like,
Mass
this
Effect
guy's great. I'm very
2?
Excited.
Beautiful
Mass
game.
Oh, Mass Effect 2 is fantastic. So,
you know, I was thinking about this, too. What's kind of cool is after from the events of Days of Future Past, it erased all the stuff that happened to Deadpool in the first Wolverine movie.
I know. They erased everything that was bad. It's so great. I love it.
Retcon everything.
So great.
So we definitely owe Bryan Singer thanks for that one.
Yeah. Man, I'm so glad. So this Deadpool movie, either way, we're all excited, right? That's pretty much.
Yeah. Deadpool is going to be amazing.
February. The writer is the writer of Zombieland.
Nice. See, look.
So that is an absolutely perfect tone.
They got the best people for this movie. I mean, everyone is just so good.
It's just much better than the crap we were dealing with for Spider-Man right now.
Yeah. No, and it's great to see stuff like this where people actually love the character and they understand the character and they're actually making movies about
the character.
That's
what we want, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we wanted from the beginning, but it never happens, man. This is like a weird, like I said, it's so unreal. That you got all these people that truly care about this character. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like the news. I don't know if this I'm transitioning or not, but that they're getting Geoff Johns to be one of the writers. I mean, with Ben Affleck, but Geoff Johns is one of the writers in the Batman movie coming out.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. They have a comic book guy, a comic book writer, writing a. Who would have thought you'd get a comic book writer to write a comic book movie? Crazy, just crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I've always said I'd rather have Affleck direct a Batman movie than be in one.
Yeah, well, we're getting both.
We're gonna get to Batman pretty soon. Very soon. I just wanted to point out one thing. We're going to the Warner Brothers now. What do you guys think about Green Lantern Corps?
I'm excited. It should have been. The thing is, like, I think Joe, you and I have talked about this. Is the reason why Green Lantern 1 failed is because they were afraid to make it a space cop movie.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously if they're making Green Lantern and Guardians of the Galaxy did that, right? Marvel came out and was like, we don't care if it's all in space. Earth sucks and whatever. And like Green Lantern kept coming back to Earth. You're like, that's not really – Green Lantern hardly ever comes back to Earth. When you read the Green Lantern comic books, he's on other planets all the time. Like when he comes back to Earth, it's because some major crap's happening and the Justice League needs him. But he's usually around Sector 2817, right? That's where he's at. So – the fact they're making a Green Lantern Corps movie with all the Green Lanterns, yes, give it to me. That's what I want. I can't wait. I want to see Kilowog. I want to see Chip D. I want to see Bizzed. I want to see, Rotlapthan and them all having a party in space.
Do you think we could see Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and Guy Gardner?
Yep, I think so. Well, isn't it Chris Pine? He's going to be Hal Jordan, right?
I think we're seeing all four of them.
Yeah, and then we'll probably see Kyle Rayner, too. Yeah.
Wait, who's the fourth? Oh, the fourth one is Kyle Rayner. Yeah,
yeah. He's the graphic designer of the three. So his imagination is so great that he's like the White Lantern now, and he has all the powers of all the rings. He's like super duper powerful. He had Ion inside of him, kind of like when Hal Jordan had Parallax inside of him, and he was bad. Well, instead, Kyle Rayner was so good at being a Green Lantern that Ion, the essence of green, was inside of him. So he had like unlimited ring power. And he still got messed up by the Sinestro Corps, but whatever. It was awesome. Kyle Rayner's great. They're all great. I can't wait. I love Green Lantern.
Kyle gets dumped on a lot, and I think he really carried that book for a long time.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, all the Lanterns have very different styles of what their constructs are.
Yeah.
And I think 100%. I really want to see that. Like, as you said, Kyle's a graphic artist, so his things are very comic booky looking.
Yeah, he makes giant robots and stuff, you know, like crazy ideas. Then you have, you know, your John Stewart, which is military.
He's an architect too, so it's very designed, and guys are very kind of macho and out there. And
he's always driving a motorcycle.
Right, and Hal's are just very simple.
Yeah, a baseball bat, you know, something like that. And that's great, and I love that, and I hope that they show that, which I feel like they didn't show. They showed, like, in that movie, it was like, Hal Jordan would not make a Gatling gun. And in that Green Lantern movie, he made a Gatling gun. I'm like, no, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't make two swords. He might, but I feel like he'd make a baseball bat. He'd make a glove to catch you.
Doesn't he use a Gatling gun in the Injustice game?
Yeah, he does also, which is like, I don't think he would do that. I really don't think – I would say John Stewart would do that.
Yeah, again, I think Warner Brothers is doing a great job. They're making everybody happy. And we'll go right into the big one now, and that's Batman versus Superman.
All
right,
so Batman vs. Superman, I was in love with that trailer very much.
I'm definitely more on board than I was beforehand. I think it's beginning to get tone. I think you're seeing Clark try and be heroic more in a world that really doesn't want him to be, is what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, and the attention to detail from, if you've seen some of those GIFs out there of when Zod is lasering the inside of that building with his eyes in the first movie, and then they're showing in the trailer, they show Bruce Wayne outside of that building holding a little girl, and the laser beams are like exactly where the eyes would be when he was doing it from inside the building. Like, it shows both like at the same time. I've seen all these GIFs, and it looks just great. The fact that they're sister cities makes it a little more sense that Metropolis is the Metropolis that Wayne Enterprises is in. You know, they're kind of making them a little closer.
I didn't realize that. Like, so basically, it's kind of like New York and New Jersey.
Right, which recently the DC Comics have said that New Jersey is Gotham and New York is Metropolis. But I always thought of it as Chicago and New York.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But the map I always thought was – I remember seeing a while ago was New York is there. Gotham is about halfway down Jersey, and Metropolis is the Delaware-Jersey border. And it's just one giant, basically, megalopolis between the three of them.
Huh. Interesting. Either way, the trailer looked great. They had some, like, amazing moments in that thing. The Jason Todd batsuit was a big one for me. That was super exciting. If you guys saw that or not. But in the Batcave, it had the ha-ha, jokes on you, Batman. That means that this Batman lived in a world where there was a Jason Todd and he was killed by the Joker, right? That means that this is a comic book Batman. We're not dealing with some, like, rich guy that happened to know martial arts but isn't a detective Batman. We're not dealing with a cop drama movie. We're not dealing with just a rich guy with toys. We're dealing with Batman here. Like, that's what got me. I'm like, this is Batman. It's not Christopher Nolan's Batman. It's not, whatever, Tim Burton's Batman. It's Batman. Like, he's got to be the Great Knight Detective. I'm really
Do you
excited.
Know what it also isn't? It's also not DC's fantastic animated version of this movie that they've already done.
No, it's not. But did you see the rumors about the Jason Todd suit and how it relates to some of, like, the scenes they showed, and then along with the younger Joker, like, all the that? I like that fan theory a lot.
I mean, I can't bring myself to care about these movies because it's so dark, it's so forced that how are they going to wedge Wonder Woman into this? The way that they're showing that Superman and Batman share the same world, that's great, that's fine, I understand that. But where's Wonder Woman going to come into play? It's so much going on for a movie, and it looks like half of it takes place during the
Man of Steel. I have to agree with you there. There's a lot going on, and they're trying to introduce way too many characters way too quickly. What else always bothered me is, like, if they're having the Justice League movie next or whatever, that means that this is old. Like, we're gonna consider if Jason Todd's dead, and it kind of seems like Dark Knight Returns territory. So we're saying we're like a 60-year-old Batman that probably hung up the cape already and is going back into it because Superman shows up. And then just when Superman shows up, then all of a sudden there's a Wonder Woman, there's an Aquaman, there's a Flash, there's a Green Lantern. He's like, look, I've been doing this for 60 years and now you guys all show up? Like, I feel like that's the weirdest part to me, is it's supposed to be old Batman, but then everyone else is going to be like, hey, we've been here. what's up? It's like, what? Why? Why did it take so long for everyone to just show up?
Well, I agree, you know, again, what Patrick said about Wonder Woman. Yeah, she kind of feels like she's shoehorned in there because they're just trying to kind of get her out there in the public domain because they don't have the guts to give her own movie first. I'd rather her not be in it because she looks great, though. I have to say, I was kind of down on Gal Gadot, but from the scenes that I saw, she looks pretty good, and it looks like she can handle the role, but I just don't feel she belongs in there. I would rather it have been just a Batman versus Superman movie. Nobody else. I mean, if you wanted to have
cameos, yeah, like slight cameos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and now you're introducing very clearly an entire Joker storyline into this. There's so much going on.
And they've seen scenes from Suicide Squad where Batman is attacking the Joker on the Joker mobile in Suicide Squad. So, I mean, they're all super related. You know, and so that I think
cinematic universe being shared is great. Let's just do it all at once.
And it makes sense for comic book fans, but I feel like a regular person's gonna get so overwhelmed with characters.
Amen.
Man, like,
Amen.
Because I'm happy about it, but then I'm also like, even looking at Suicide Squad, there's like 15 people in that movie, and I don't know half of those characters. And I read DC Comics like on a weekly, if not daily, basis. That I'm reading DC Comics, and I'm still like, well, I know Enchantress, but I was like, I don't know who this like weird looking guy is that's bald. Like, I still don't know who that guy is. Like, I see him in all the movie trailers, like there was like the baseball jacket, and I still have no idea. I'm like, I don't know who that is. And I was
Killer Croc?
No, it's not Killer Croc. It's somebody.
No, he's got like tattoos or something.
He's got tattoos.
Yeah,
he's just a dude with the tattoos, and I'm like, I read a lot of DC Comics. Like, I mean, I play DC deck building games. Like, I love DC, and I'm still like, I don't know that. I don't know that guy. Like, there's a lot of other Suicide Squad characters you could put in there. There should be like six of them.
Well,
give me six Suicide Squad.
I'm sure he's going to be the first to die. You know?
Yeah, get rid of him. Let's kill him off because nobody knows who he is. But
yeah, they're going to keep probably Killer Croc and Deadshot and Harley are the ones like that are franchisable.
And like Captain Boomerang, but he'll be in the Flash movies. You know, like let's put him in the Flash stuff with the ropes.
I can barely participate in this conversation because it makes me so angry. With the Flash and Arrow doing so well, and they're just like, nope, none of that happens, none of that exists.
But Patrick, okay, here's the way that you solve it for everybody. You have an episode of The Flash in season 3, right before the new Flash movie comes out, right before they introduce him, where alternate Snyder Earth Flash visits TV show Flash in a crossover episode because they're alternate Earths.
But they won't do that because they're stupid.
They're alternate Earths. There's the CW Earth. And that's
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the multiverse idea, but the problem is that they won't do that. They choose instead to just pretend that their superior product does not exist.
I don't think so.
Well,
they
this
might
entire
do that.
Season of shows between Legends and Flash is all about the multiverse.
So they might actually introduce the Zack Snyder multiverse, and they wouldn't even have to have, like, Stephen – as much as I would love for the whole secret to be that Stephen Amell is old Oliver Queen with one arm in Batman versus Superman, and nobody knew, and he shoots Superman with the kryptonite, like, arrow – at one point, I would just lose my mind, but that never happened. But they don't even need to have like that much crossover. Like all they need is just the movie Flash to appear in a single episode
of
the Flash TV show, and it would solve all of my anger because I'd be like, oh, well, there are two Flashes. That's how it's in the comic books. I guess that's fine. I couldn't be mad.
And I got to say, I agree with Patrick. I don't think they're smart enough to do that, though.
But I solved it. I just solved their problem.
Can solve it. That doesn't mean they're going to solve it.
All they have to do is have him at some point when he's on another Earth looking at a TV and show a clip from Man of Steel as like a news clip, and we're done. And
They could do so many little things. They could even say like – even Rip Hunter at one point in Legends of Tomorrow could say like, you know, there's another universe where Batman and Superman fought. And you'd be like, oh, hey, I know that one. I saw the movie. But, like, you know, they'd have to do that. They'd have to mention it. All they have to do is write one line in there.
Well, I want to mention one thing. I mean, I've been ragging on Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne and Batman for a long time. Taylor has been hearing it for years since it's been announced. And I got to say, he kind of won me over with this trailer. The scene that won me over is when he was running towards danger and everybody was running away from it. I thought that was so cool, and I thought that was definitely something you could see Bruce Wayne doing. And he did kind of look like Bruce Wayne. It's weird because like sometimes he looks like an older Bruce Wayne, and then the other times he looks like Ben Affleck. I don't know. I think they still have to get that right. But what I saw, it kind of impressed me, and I think he looks great as Batman. I'm still not sure. I did kind of hear his voice without it being digitized, where he said that, which this kind of shocked me. Didn't he say, like, I'm going to have to kill him in regards to Superman?
Yep.
I mean, that's not...
Batman doesn't kill.
Yeah, that's not Batman.
Yeah,
well,
so
so we don't know if it applies in his mind.
My guess, maybe. I don't know. The trailer, like I said, I loved that trailer. And I think Ben Affleck looks great. The whole cast was there at Comic-Con. I saw them signing at the DC booth.
Oh, that's cool. I was going to say, I did not like Jesse Eisenberg as Luther.
Yeah, from the beginning, I was all aboard the Eisenberg train, but that seemed to have really shifted in this trailer. He seems to be playing it more smarmy, greasy than Luthor should be. I thought his quotes in the voiceover of the original trailer were cool, but I'm not so sure now.
He just doesn't look threatening, and I had mentioned this. I wrote a review for Ant-Man for the site. That guy, Corey Stahl, that played the villain in Ant-Man, he would have been excellent Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I guess. The guy that plays Yellow Jacket or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, he was threatening. He had the look. He had the build. I mean, you know, that's what I don't like about Eisenberg. He just looks like a skinny kid.
I still think Kevin Spacey nailed that part. That movie was bad, but Kevin Spacey was great in Superman Returns.
Yeah, no,
as
he was
Lex
good.
Luthor. Good. Good Luthor.
Yeah, that was the best part of that movie. I actually need to watch that The Death of Superman Lives that came out.
I just bought it, so I'm waiting for it to come, the Blu-ray to come in the mail. I can't wait. Can't wait to watch the documentary.
Is that the one with
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage as Superman.
Yeah, and it was the one that Kevin Smith wrote the script for with the giant spider.
Oh,
I'm really excited to like hear all about that. It's just fascinating. The whole story is fascinating to me.
You know what also annoys me with Eisenberg is he says that line, the red capes are coming. There's only one red cape.
Yeah, that was a weird – maybe there's got to be something else. Maybe he just means heroes in general are coming.
Maybe.
Yeah, the
meta-humans. I didn't get that either. Yeah, the metahumans are coming. Like they're all coming. Metahumans.
And it does – it is starting to look like – I mean from the rumors that I heard that Doomsday is in this.
In this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, Doomsday's he's cloned from
– Doomsday. Cloned from Zod?
Yes. Okay. Hold on. So now we're introducing Batman into this universe. Then at the same time, we're introducing Wonder Woman into this universe, possibly the Joker, and quite possibly Doomsday. No one that is ahead of a multi-billion-dollar studio is like, hey, let's take a step back. Maybe this is too many characters. No, don't worry. We're going to replay the first half of the other Superman movie so everybody's all caught up.
And then they're going to be like, you remember Spider-Man 3 worked out great. But, you know, I think I would rather have it be Bizarro. I'd rather have them create Bizarro out of Zod than Doomsday.
Well,
I mean,
they're kind of combining the two characters into one.
They
but
did
this
a really
also,
good it, Bizarro in – was it – something recently I was reading of Superman that it is a really good Bizarro because like – or no, was it maybe one of the animated movies?
Well, I was going to say too that this also reminds me of Superman, The Quest for Peace. You know, when they brought a Nuclear Man.
Who should have been Bizarro again, yeah.
Yeah, originally he was Bizarro, and then they threw that out for some reason.
People won't like a kind of quasi-mentally challenged guy on the screen.
Like
they
the
won't get it.
Hunchback of Notre Dame or something like that.
I don't know. There's too many characters. I mean, like I said, like they have all these characters. It's like they're jump-starting this, and they're like they're hitting the ground, not just running, but they're hitting the ground like in the Speed Force. You know what I'm saying?
And,
like
and
they're
Patrick,
going real fast.
You forgot also Aquaman and Cyborg.
Listen, yeah. I will not speak ill of Aqua Khal Drogo.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, for Aquaman,
I think that I would prefer instead of them actually having Vic Stone, unless they have him like playing football, I think I'd prefer them to have Silas Stone, right? His dad, like in a lab scene, and that's all they show of Cyborg. Like, they don't talk about Cyborg. They just say, oh, Dr. Stone. And you're like, nah.
Or it could be like the Justice League New 52 reboot. Like, he gets injured in this thing, and he's being created at the very end.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that, too. That's like, that was like in season two of, speaking of greater DC things, season two of Arrow, when Flash gets hurt, or when Barry Allen, you see him get struck by lightning in the middle of season two of Arrow, and you were like, man, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think this whole thing of what DC is mindset is was summed up, and there was an interview at Comic-Con, I think it was, or right before, it was an interview with Affleck, and he says, you know, this whole thing is, you know, Marvel's about these, you know, fanciful characters and lightheartedness, and DC's always been about realism. I'm like,
that's opposite.
Exactly the opposite of what everything's been, except for the past 5 to 10 years.
I mean, it's true, though, but even so, like, when you look at DC characters versus Marvel characters are almost all, like, either genetic mutations or lab accidents, and Superman is so powerful, you need a dark side, right? And you don't need a Thanos for the majority. You need all of the Marvel heroes to defeat Thanos, but you just need Superman to fight Darkseid, or you need a Doomsday. You need something so powerful that the entire Justice League fails and Superman has to die to kill it in order to kill Superman, or kill, quotation, air quotations. But you can have Doc Ock fight Spider-Man and it's a fair fight. So Marvel has always been much more grounded than DC, always. I mean, with the exception of the Batman character, but even Batman has to be so much more than a man could possibly be by still being a man to even be Batman,
The Avengers are heroes. The Justice League are gods.
It's true, man. All of them. I mean, even Batman, he is
the perfect human.
Yeah, the perfect human. He is super, he's the smartest, like most athletic, like just like coolest guy ever. But no, it's true though. It's true. They're two, you need bigger heroes and bigger events to fight the DC heroes. They need to be bigger. And that's why they work on great screens, but a team movie with all of them, you need something so big. That's why it has to be Darkseid for the Justice League movie. Like, what else could it possibly be? What else could they possibly fight except each other in Justice League?
Darkseid. Maybe they could fight the Suicide Squad.
Boo. Suicide Squad suck.
So, like, not really a show of hands, but what's everybody's opinion on it? Did you like it? I know, Taylor, you liked it, right?
What, Suicide Squad or Batman?
Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, I loved it. I'm super excited about that movie. I think that it's still doing Batman justice, and that's enough for me. I'm stoked for Batman vs. Superman.
Ron?
It's moved up. I'm still cautious about it, but I was going to see it either way, but I'm definitely more looking forward to seeing it now.
Patrick?
Poop.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I definitely, it kind of won me over this time, and I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm probably looking forward to this more than Civil War.
I know I am.
But we'll see.
You're absolutely crazy. You're looking forward to this more than Civil War.
When's the last time
Civil War? Civil War has had 5 years of buildup.
Yeah, but and you still only have 12 characters for a Civil War amongst heroes.
Movie. Will that make it better if all of them are just in one movie?
Yeah, sure. Let them do a DC thing. Let them do a Suicide Squad-esque like character.
And if they say the name of their team in the middle of it, that should be even better.
I hope so. I hope they say the name. I love it when people say the name of the movie in the movie.
Ah, that's the best.
Really stoked.
Let's get on to that trailer, Joe.
We're getting there. No, I was going to say, I'm going to defend what I said, though. With Civil War, and I've said this before, my problem is it's going to be a watered-down version of the comic because, again, you're not going to have all the characters that you really need in it.
You can't kill Goliath.
And it should be at least two movies. I mean, how could you fit all of that story into one movie? It's just going to be rushed, and we'll see. I mean, it's totally going to be different than the comic. I mean, maybe not 100% different, but it has to be because I just can't see them replicating that on screen.
I didn't like the book series of Civil War. I thought it was one of the big a big event that became a non-event except for Cap by the end of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know, Tony kind of realized the error of his ways sort of thing. And it just went, it set back to zero, which I don't think this is going to.
I will say one thing that was pretty cool. I saw a picture of that kid that's playing Spider-Man. He shot a picture of, like, a selfie with him and the guy that's playing the Punisher in the Daredevil series.
Ooh,
so
Spider-Man in that Daredevil series?
No, I'm saying, I mean, they might bring the Punisher into Civil War.
This is what I'm thinking. Okay, here's what I'm thinking that's going to happen is season two of Daredevil is going to end right before Civil War happens in theaters, and they're just going to lead – they're going to use Daredevil to lead into Civil War like they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think we're going to get both leading into Civil War.
Yeah,
honestly,
and right? I think we're going to have Luke. We're going to get all those street level people to be on Cap's side because you're going to need Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Daredevil and Punisher, and they're all going to be there to be on Cap's side. And you can have all the bigger, stronger people to be on Iron Man's side, and I think it's going to be interesting that way. That'll help them get at least like five or six more characters in that movie, real quick.
Yeah, but you're going to need two movies.
You're going to have a lot more smaller characters, I think, introduced into S.H.I.E.L.D., a lot more Inhumans, a lot more of the enhanced.
Well, you have the Secret Warrior storyline that's going to be going on with S.H.I.E.L.D., and let me tell you, we talked a lot about Comic-Con. S.H.I.E.L.D. may have won Comic-Con with their dub smash battle between Agent Carter and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was amazing and entertaining. No, nobody, just me.
No, I don't think so. That Marvel booth was not that good. I don't know. The Agent Carter people were there as I was in line trying to get a signature from Bruce Timm. And I was just like, but it's Bruce Timm. I don't care about Agent Carter. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. Sorry.
So Suicide Squad, is that what we're talking about now?
Let's get right into Suicide Squad. What'd you guys think about that?
This is in my Fantastic Four bucket of things I'm going to see, but probably drunk.
I mean, I enjoyed that the Joker had to turn Harley Quinn crazy with like the electrode things. That seemed pretty cool. But I don't know. Everything else just seemed like I still don't understand why this movie is a thing.
At least yet. If we are a couple movies into the DC universe, where we've seen these characters on the screen before,
yeah,
that would work. I mean, it worked. It worked great as an Arrow episode.
Well, it works better as a TV show. Like, you can make an evil A-team and make it a great TV show. Like, that sounds great to me. Like, I would love for them, for the CW, but they're not going to do it now, but for the CW to have a new show when Legends of Tomorrow is, like, getting it going. They're like, and now we're having a Suicide Squad show that's all about Amanda Waller and the Suicide Squad.
And Amanda Waller in the film pales in comparison to the Amanda Waller on Arrow.
Yeah.
There was rumors that this was supposed to be another Arrow spinoff.
And they turned it into a movie?
I think that could have actually happened. I think.
Yeah, didn't they have Harley Quinn and Arrow?
Well, that was.
Referenced Harley in the show.
They had her say a word without you seeing her face. Like, they had her say, like, you need a marriage counselor to Diggle. But they were going to have more, and then they cut that out because I think the Suicide Squad movie, they decided to do that or something. But
yeah, they did a couple great Suicide Squad episodes.
Great.
And it really,
yeah.
But they killed Deadshot off. Like, they killed him off. So, like.
I know. It's. That really bothered me. I was very excited. I thought Deadshot was one of the better characters on the show.
He was.
Had so much story to go with and so much good, so much evil. I really thought, I don't know who played him, but he did a fantastic job.
Will Smith.
No, not Will Smith. This to me is, I'm going to try and say this as WWNT friendly as humanly possible. This is a giant Harlequin fanboy. I don't want to say masturbatory because that's what I would like to say. This is for all the guys and girls out there who just love Harley so much, and it's just fan service to her character. And I mean, in professional wrestling, the world I come from, we have a term called hotshotting it. And you hotshot the angle because you want the big payoff. And this is what they see. They see that maybe the comic book movie is coming to an end. Maybe those $500 million opening weekends are done. And they're trying to get all their stuff in before the bubble bursts. I think this would be much better. I think, Ron, you were saying that if they brought this along later in the DC universe, I think it could be something that we all would be looking forward to. But it's really just, let's get this out there. Let's mix its continuity into Batman versus Superman. I mean, how are you supposed to care about these people that you know very rarely about? And how are we going to buy Joker as a good guy? Has he ever been part of the Suicide Squad before?
No, I don't. He has, but I think they're out to get the Joker. I don't think Joker's part of the Suicide Squad. I think that's their first mission.
Joker.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a huge part of it either. Honestly.
I think that Harley Quinn though is part of the suit. I think that the first they showed scenes of her chasing the Joker mobile on her motorcycle. I think she is maybe going to be a psychiatrist that works with what's Amanda Waller's company or it's. Whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Argus.
I think she's going to be working for Argus, chasing the Joker. The Joker makes her crazy, and then she's like – and it's going to show that near the beginning, and then they're going to have to all go after the Joker, and she's leading it or is one of the leaders because she knows him best. I think that's what's going to happen in this movie.
I mean, I'm really surprised that they even greenlit this because it's going to be a hard sell because there's no way kids are going to be seeing this movie. I mean, I guess it's similar to Deadpool. Do we even have a rating for this yet? I mean, is it going to be – and
they'll go PG-13. They're not going to go R.
Yeah, they'll go PG-13. But there's like, yeah, I mean, just watching the trailer, like the Joker, I guess he's torturing Harley Quinn, you know, at that point.
I think he's turning Dr. Harley Quinzel into Harley Quinn with electrodes in her brain.
Yeah, that's just really messed up. Yeah, I can't see kids really leaving the theater happy after seeing that. It's just going to be a tough sell, I think. And as far as Jared Leto's version of the Joker, I'm still not sold on it. I did hear an interesting thing, and I think, Carol, you might have referenced it, and Ron, too, and maybe even Patrick, that this Joker might be, like, the second Joker?
Yeah, it might be Jason Todd. So instead of the Joker beating Jason Todd to death, they pull a Tim Drake from The Return of the Joker from Batman Beyond, and they maybe made him brainwashed into the Joker, because he seems a little young to have been the person that has been Batman's bane for the past 40 years, 20 years, or whatever, 30 years of his life, with being an old Ben Affleck Batman. So it's possible that the ha-ha-ha joke's on you is the Joker just turned Jason Todd into the Joker instead of – and they can kind of take an Arkham Knight take on it instead of like the Joker beating him to death and then him being raised in the Lazarus pit and going crazy. They could have it just that he brainwashed him and kind of like made him – the Joker, and that's why also it would make more sense for the tattoos, because the Joker we all know and love would not sit still for that many tattoos, right? It just wouldn't happen. Like, he's too crazy. But Jason Todd, like, used to be a, you know, I don't know, maybe more stable, I don't know if that's the thing, but more stable Joker could have done those. And there's, like, rumors that they see, like, a winged feather that could be referenced to Robin. Whether or not that's a tattoo that Joker got because he killed Robin, or whether that's a reference to him being Jason Todd and maybe used to be Robin. But then in Batman versus Superman, the trailer, they showed like a Joker writing, at least it looked like Joker's writing, on like a news article of the destruction of Wayne Enterprises, and said, "You let your family die," or something like that. And that's the only person that would know that Bruce Wayne is Batman is another Robin. And so that's why they're also thinking that the Joker is Jason Todd, because he would have sent Batman that note.
I mean, the only thing that really makes sense to me, again, is the youth factor. With Ben Affleck being an older Batman, I can't see Jared Leto being the Joker at his age. I always thought like they would be like around similar ages, or even the Joker a little older. That's why it's possible that they might be going that route.
Which I'd accept that. That sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if I'll accept this movie, but you know, we'll see what happens.
I would just love to see like Batman trying to like chasing down the thing, being like Jason, and just instead of saying like the Joker, just being like, you know, him just wanting him to come back. And there's also the line in the thing, like, you know, I've been in Gotham for 20 years, and how many of those good guys stayed good?
So Christian Bale's coming back for this one?
Yeah. He should. Just his voice. They should just dub over the voice.
Well,
the Joker, there's been always talk that the Joker's always known who Bruce is, but doesn't care in the least.
That's true, too.
I mean, it's not fun to him if he goes after Bruce. That's why he doesn't. It's fun to him to go after... I mean, why would he target Barbara to get after Gordon? It's all those things. I think we're going to... I think then Arkham Knight... I haven't finished the game, but there's some scenes in there that hint to that the Joker knew all along.
Yeah. All right, that's a good game, Arkham Knight.
I need to finish it. It's fantastic. It's definitely better than... It's my second favorite of the series, I'll say.
It became my favorite once. I don't know. I don't want to give anything away, so... But, you know, it's good.
All right, I guess that's it for all the trailers that we were able to view from Comic-Con.
Was the new Fantastic Four Comic-Con, or was that just something that's been released lately?
I think it was just released. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I mean,
it definitely makes me want to see that movie more than Zero.
It definitely was better than the previous one. There is a big problem with that trailer, though.
What's that?
Why doesn't Thing have pants?
He has knee pants, man.
No, he needs pants, sir.
It finally answers the mall rat question.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Nope.
I never understood how Doomsday got his pants.
Well, Doomsday was wrapped in a shroud.
Yeah, he was in a containment suit underground, wrapped up, and he broke free. So he was always in, like, an outfit, and the outfit just ripped off of him as he fought. Come on, Joe.
And it's got Hulk protection around that area.
But yeah, I mean, it is kind of disturbing that the Thing doesn't have pants and...
Needs pants!
What's really disturbing is that poor guy now no longer has a Thing. But he is the Thing, you know?
You don't know that, though.
He needs pants! I feel strongly about this.
The same thing happened to Reed, but we just can't tell.
Yeah, that's funny because he's awful.
So are you guys planning on seeing this movie?
No.
Yeah, I'll see it.
Listen, I will spend my hard-earned dollars at the movie theater very sparingly. It has to be good. I have a great sound system and television at home. Mm-hmm. If I want that theater experience, I want to make sure it's, you know, worth my while.
I went to see the new Poltergeist, so I guess I'll go see this.
All right, so we're going to end our Comic-Con trailer discussion. And next week, we're probably going to talk about Ant-Man. You're going to see that, right, Patrick?
I have a mouthful of watermelon.
You should see Ant-Man. It was really good.
I still have a mouthful of watermelon. I'm working on it.
You should still see Ant-Man.
All right.
Yes, I plan on seeing Ant-Man hopefully very soon.
Maybe we could review Pixels, too, and then shoot ourselves in the face.
I'll go see Pixels with you guys. I like Adam Sandler movies.
I'm with Taylor. I like Adam Sandler movies.
My girlfriend and I love those movies. Like all of them.
I'll yell about DC movies all you want, but just give me a stupid Adam Sandler movie and I'll be entertained.
Yeah. I like some Adam Sandler movies from, like, 1994.
No, I don't think you give the new ones enough. Like some of the new ones actually are pretty good. Like, What is this? What's the one with Jennifer Aniston? That one was actually really funny.
Wait for it. No, just go with it.
Just go with it. The name is so dumb, I always forget it. But that was actually really good.
His more serious roles are actually a little better, like Punch Drunk Love.
No, I fell asleep. 50 First Dates.
Like when he's not being completely stupid, I kind of like him a little bit more. I mean, like he's not even then there's Billy Madison stupid, which is something different.
It's true. But anyway, what a tangent. Yeah. Adam Sandler. Anyway, I want to see Pixels. That's where I'm going with this.
Well, have fun with that one.
I will, man. You don't understand. I will actually enjoy it. So you could say have fun with it, but I will. Me and Patrick will have fun with it.
Yep. But first Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week, Patrick will also talk about his comics that he's been reading.
And... what's coming up, a huge announcement out of Marvel's booth at Comic-Con, was that Squirrel Girl will get her own series again. Woo!
Yay.
Well, anything that makes you happy, I'm happy.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. He's so sweet.
All right. Enough of this. With that, this is the end of Episode 8 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I wanted to thank Taylor for coming on. And Taylor, where can people find you?
You can find me all that we do. I'm on two different podcasts, one about comic books and one about video games. You can look us up at cbxcasts.com. That's cbxcasts.com. You can find us pretty much just look up cbxcasts where you look for podcasts and or Twitter or Comic Chat with Gat, which is a comic book one. That's Comic Chat WGAT on Twitter and Comic Chat with Gat wherever else you want to find us. And that's fun. So
cool. Thanks. And how about you guys, Ron and Patrick? And us?
We are at Nerd Alert Pod and Nerd Alert Pod at Gmail. We'd love some questions at any point. And I am at Gracie's Butler.
I am at Hack LaSalle. I do say bad words on occasion, so just be forewarned.
So that's it, guys. Until next time, later.
Stay nerdy.